Nehemiah Perikei Pasuk Yud Aleph. Nehemiah is continuing to ask, to beg the people to go easy on their people who owe them money. In previous Pasuk Yud Aleph, he asked them to abandon, not to collect, not to demand payment, the Mashah Hazeh. And here in Pasuk Yud Aleph, he's going further. Hashivu Nolohem Kehayoim. Return. Return the money that you've taken from them. Now that's very interesting, because in Pasuk Yud and in Pasuk, in the previous Pasukim, I don't know if we had yet mentioned an actual request that not only should they not demand payment, they should even go so far as to return the money that they took. So he's going further. Hashivu no, but then he seems to contradict himself. Not really a contradiction. At the end of the Pasuk, where he says again, Noishim, so he seems to be making a double request. If you have not collected from them, don't collect.
Be moichel.
Be moichel. Rashi learns, go be moichel. V'nimcholam. It's not clear where Rashi got that from, that expression from. To be moichel. The second statement that we're learning here in this pasuk is not only in the event that you have already in the past collected payment, you already foreclosed on their property, return the property to them. Hashivu nolohem. I don't know if the United States in this whole crisis, there were a lot of different programs to go easy and not to collect, not to foreclose. I have never heard of any program in the government where the banks were told to give back after the fact. There are many different programs. Don't collect. Let the bank go easy. We'll give you a delay. We'll give you more time to pay. At kedei kach, that they should say anyone, the banks that foreclosed on property, give it back to the owners. I'm not sure. Maybe there were such things, but I don't recall such extreme measures. But here Nehemiah is begging them even to return. Hashivu no, please get no, as ain't no. El Eloshen Bakasha, just like in the previous pasuk, he's not using an executive order, which we'll see that he does have such powers in leading the parak, that he was the pecha, he was the governor, and he indeed had such sweeping powers, but he did not abuse his powers. And he only says, please return Elohim Kayoim. Kayoim means like this day. Kehayoim means there are different interpretations. Rashi learns Yud Aleph Ki Hayom. I'm sorry, Rashi. The Mitzudas David Ki Hayom Ki Eis Hazos. At this time, it means like. It doesn't mean like the day. It means Ki. It's interpreted on this day. But on this very day, let's not wait until tomorrow, to next week, in a month. Today, Hayoim, I want you to give back the money to the people. I want you to abandon to be Meichel the Chavis. That is how the Mitzvah. I think other Mepharshim learned that this used throughout Tanakh, that just like the day is clear, the day there is light, the sun is shining, and there's clarity. Unlike the evening when it's dark, things are not so clear and murky, you don't really see what's going on. I want it to be crystal clear to the people that they no longer have to pay their debts. Don't issue some vague document where it's a subject to interpretation. And in 20 years from now, a judge will sit and start reading the document. What does it really mean? And there'll be a team of lawyers. Some will say it means this. They never meant to be moichel. Some say, no, they really did meant to forgive the loans. No, no. Make it crystal clear in the documents, as clear as day. Like the day is clear, it should be clear cut that the loans are forgiven. So you have two very different interpretations of what it means. It means immediately, now, no delay, or make it clear, don't start playing games and holding out that maybe in the future you'll be able to still collect your payments. Hashivna Elohim Kehayoim, Sedo Sehem, their fields, Karmahim, their vineyards, Zay Sehem, their olives. Well, I guess the orchards are the olives, uvotehem, and their homes. Umeas hakesef, that's a difficult expression. As means 100. Hakesef is silver. Now what does that mean? Only people who owe you 100 silver coins? Is that what it means?
Even if the loan is very great.
Oh, so that's how it's interpreted. It means even if it's very large, it's an expression, it's a borrowed term, it's a symbolic
number,
right? It's a symbolic term, it's a poetic expression that ma'as always is associated with a lot, even if the loan is very great. I want you to forgive all of the all of your power of collection, the hadagon and grain, hatirosh wine, the hayitzar and oil. So yitzar is not the same as zeisehim. Zeisehim are the orchards. That's where the olives are growing. People had in stock actual oil. So the hayitzar ashratem noishim bohem, which you have a claim against them. So the pasuk begins with hashivu and concludes with noishim. Two very different concepts. A claim is something which you have not yet collected. It's the power of collection. I want you to be meichel the power of collection. But pasuk yet aleph is going further. Not only do I want you to forgive your power of collection, I want you to actually return the things which you have taken, return it to them. Again, kayoim means either on this very day, or I want you to make it clear as day. You should not in the future come back and say you never meant to be meichel. And naas is a term which means even if it's very significant sum of money, it's a very great loss, too bad. The time requires, the needs of the people require that you make use of, that you do these extreme techniques, these extreme measures. Okay, let's see, there's a lot going on in this whole pasuk Gidalf and Rashi first. Hashivu na, v'af atem tasu kamoini, do like me. Okay, he's continuing in pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud said, v'gam ani. Nechemiah said, I also am guilty of the crime. I also lend people money. We'll see later on, the end of the parak, that Nechemiah was a very wealthy man. It's not clear, was it his own wealth, or was it money that was given to him by the government, or was the money given to him by private fans, supporters? He had people that liked him, and they gave him money to serve. It's not clear where he had all this wealth from. It doesn't say anywhere, as far as I know, but he lent money, and Nehemiah was owed an enormous amount of money, and he was loichel, so he told them, look, follow me, follow my example. V'yaf atem tasu k'moni, l'mcholohem kol l'chayvaseihem, all of their debts. U'me'as ha'kesev. So here Rashi says the word ma'as, 100, is being used figuratively, v'roiv, in abundance. Hakesef shehem chayav lechem im hadogon ve'atirosh. I want you to forgive, although it's a very significant sum, trillions of dollars of debt. Right? I want you to be moichel. They tell China, moichel, just be trillions of dollars. Well, that's really what's happening over here. It's the equivalent, the Jewish people against themselves, not foreign nations, among themselves. Nechemi is telling them to be moichel the debt. Okay, let's see over here. The mitzvah is supposed to get aleph ki hayom ko'es hazos. So the mitzvah takes the word kayom. It does not mean clear as day. It means this moment. Hashiv lohem hasadois, return the fields v'chulu ma'asa kesef. Ochas minyan miruba. So the mitzvah is following Rashi's cue, and it means roiv. Does not mean literally 100. It means in abundance. We took hold of a very large number. Loimar, af im hachoyv hu me'as kesef. Even if the loan, the debt is 100 silver coins, u'mikra kotzar. The pasuk is written in short form. Chilu amar ozu machlu me'as kesef. I want you to abandon and forgive large sums of money, even large sums of money. Okay, pasuk yud beitz. Vayoyimru nashif. So the response was very positive. The people, the wealthy people, said, "Unashiv, we will return." Umehem lo nivakesh. Both things were agreed upon. Number one, what we have taken, we will return. If we have foreclosed on their property, it's going back. The people can be rest assured they'll receive, they'll get it back. Umehem lo nivakesh. Second thing. This that we have not yet collected, but we are entitled to collect, our power of collection is cancelled. We will not ask. Cain and Naaseh, now they repeated their words a second time, repetition, L'chazek hadavar, to say we're not going to waver, we're not going to backtrack, we are dead serious. Cain Naaseh. Kano means emes. So we will do. We are not going to change our minds. Ka'asher ato'imer, as you say, Nehemiah. Period. Then Nehemiah does something that is very unusual. This is very rare in Tanakh. If you have such a precedent for this, I do not even know if it's found anywhere else. I don't know Tanakh well, but it search if we find such a thing. Vo'ekra el ha-kohanim. I call the kohanim. Vo'ashbi'im. And the Kohanim administered an oath to the Jewish people, La'asois kadavar hazeh, to make sure that they don't change their minds. Although they have committed themselves, they've repeated, they said we will do, and they said it a second time. And by the way, those who learn, everyone knows, you learn Masechta Nedarim, if you say you're going to do something twice, according to some opinions, that's called a neder. Even though you never said the word neder, I make a vow, you never use one of those words, all the kinuim for a vow, just repeating yourself twice in halacha, and some, according to some opinions, some situations, is equivalent to making a vow. Nechemiah was not enough. That's not sufficient. I want also a shavua. One of the first sugyas you learn Masechta Nedarim, you learn Daf Yomi, you have a good Maggid Shir, he'll tell you the chiluk between what's the difference between a neder and a shavua. They're identical. When you learn Masechta Shavuos, you'll also say, what's the chiluk between a neder and a shavua? So the answer is, the neder is on the chefza, and the shavua is on the person. Neder, the object. The object is like hekdesh. That just like one may not derive benefit from hegdish, the object, as far as I'm concerned, is like a chevtsa di isura. A shavua is relates to the person. I have removed myself from this object. The lom shavat, the briskavat. Neder is the chevtsa, the shavua is the garva. That's exactly what's happening over here in Nehemiah. First, the people say, we will do as you say, we will make a neder. The property, their property is off limits. The property that we have taken, we're going to return. This that we are entitled to collect, we're not going to collect. We're mechal. It's a chefsa di surah. It's a neder. The repetition. Nehemiah says, a neder is not enough. I want a shavu also. I want two mesachtas. Mesachta nedarim and mesachta shavuos. Very, very interesting idea. Now, this thing I really is alluding to about the shavuos, who here is administering the shavua? As far as I know, nowhere is there such a thing where the Kohen has to administer a shavua, except by Sot, I got the Chumashot, except Parshas Naso, except by a sota, there we have that the Kohen is the one that administers the Shavua. Okay, where's the bar? The Shpia Kohen is so. Okay, we'll find the pasuk. The Chavalokach HaKohen Miyadu Isha Uvo HaMayim HaMelech B'mayach. Where is it? The Yeshbia HaKohen Es Ho Isha B'Shuiv Knows the Trap. The Yeshbia HaKohen Es Ho Isha B'Shuas HaAllah The Omar HaKohen Lo Isha Yitin Hashem Oysach LeAllah A curse. The Lishvua B'Soch Anech V'Seis Hashem Es Yirechech Noifeles B'Yespit Nech Tzava. That if you don't, have been unfaithful, then your stomach should fall. Yirechech Noifeles B'Nech Tzava. Your stomach shall swell, and your thigh shall collapse, and your belly shall swell. So here there's a curse as well, and we're going to see in the next pasuk. In the next pasuk, we're going to see that Nehemiah also issues a curse. He says that anyone that does not follow through with this their pledge to return the property and to not collect shall be cursed. That everything that he has possession, two things: the bayis, his possessions, and his yigiyah, his effort, shall be destroyed. Okay, well, let us hold off on that. But the details, we'll come back to the details in a moment. There's a parallel between the curse of the sota and the curse of Nehemiah. I don't know the significance, but generally speaking, when a person makes a shavua, you don't need a kohen. A person can make a shavua on his own. The whole Masechta Shavuos, I don't think we find that a Kohen has to administer the shavua. You go to Beis Din, anyone in Beis Din, they give a person a Chefsa Shel Mitzvah, a Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzah, you hold it in your hand, Chefsa Shel Mitzvah, and you swear that you will do or not do a certain thing. We have the Makar for holding Chefsa Shel Mitzvah is Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu told Eliezer to hold on to the Nila. That was the only mitzvah that he had at that time. It was Chavi that came to Yisurin. He had Eliezer hold on to his Yorech, which is, some learn Mamish the Nila, some doesn't Mamish the Nila, means upon the hips, which means representing the Bris Mila. A Chefsa Shel Mitzvah, and to take a shua. You need a kohen. Who needs a kohen? Only by the parasha of Soito do you need a kohen. Here, for some reason, Nehemiah is instructing the kohanim to administer the shua. It seems like he's trying to say, the hint is, you're not faithful. Every Jew has an obligation has to their fellow Jew. And when you exploit them, it's the equivalent to a husband being unfaithful to a wife, being unfaithful to her husband. Nehemiah himself.
But he is part of it. Okay,
so the best in the Talmidei Chachamim. I mean, there are people.
Making it more public.
What? So simply you'll say the Kohanim, they were the leaders. They were the Kohanim, were the Talmidei Chachamim, right? That's what you'll simply say. The Zman, today we break them up. The Kohanim, the Talmidei Chachamim. Time is clear that in time of Chazal, time of the Tanakh, the Kohanim were the Talmidei Chachamim. That's Kohan. That's one approach. But I think it's something deeper. And the deeper meaning is a person starting to make a shul. Okay, you make a shul, so you go to bed, and they give you a simple, so you have to know how to make a shul. You need a lot of halachas. But when you bring into the picture the Kohen, you are reminding us of the parasha of Sotah. And when Nehemiah is saying it's not just a shavua that you should do something, I want you to realize that the crime that has been committed by exploiting your fellow brother is equivalent to the lack, is the unfaithfulness of the infidelity of a wife towards her husband. Because we're in a very difficult situation. We just suffered great tragedy. It's only been 95 years since the Churban. We're barely surviving. We're surrounded by enemies. We're trying to build the Beis HaMikdash. Now is a time when you should help your brother. Now is not the time to take advantage. It's not a time. Business as usual. They're desperate. There's a famine. People are poor. And people are taking advantage. It's just like a wife being unfaithful to her husband. It's a deeper degree of sin. Infidelity is, I think, in this world, is understood to be a much greater tragedy than a person just being not honest in business. Okay, it's a terrible thing. A person steals. There's a ganav. Someone swindles you. You're involved in business, and he steals. A partner in business, he steals. Okay, so he steals from you. He did a terrible avera. You go list the whole list of mamari chazal of the world will come to a man for doing that avera. But a wife unfaithful to her husband, that's already even more serious. That's what he's saying over here. This is not just stam, a sin of theft, of money, business. It's a big chil Hashem, we know that. We know there are big problems in business ethics. But what you're doing is even worse. It's like a wife being mezaneh, leaving her husband, and therefore I need the kohen. What?
Betrayal.
Betrayal, right. You're betraying your brethren. It's a very great tragedy, and that's why he's calling upon the kohanim to administer the oath. Okay, now what do they say? Then he goes further. So he brings over here the kohanim, and I call and I had them swill asoyis kadavar hazeh. And then he does something that is very interesting. This is one of the mekoros. I don't know if it's the mekor, but we do this occasionally. We do this at least twice a year that I know of. What do? You empty out your pockets. When do you empty out your pockets? Minog Yisrael. Twice a year. Oh, very good. By beer chametz, when you burn the chametz, some have the custom, I think it's brought down, when you burn the chametz, what?
Tashlich.
Okay, one thing at a time, you know, the yoma, when you burn the chametz, you throw your little kit into the fire, right? And then what do? Some have the minik, I've seen this, I think it's brought down, you empty out your pockets. You empty out your pockets, and you... Whatever in your pocket, nothing's there, hopefully, by now. It's symbolic. What else? Tashlich. Tashlich, you go to Tashlich, after you feed the birds. What?
See, the bus and also empty.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Oh, okay. When do they tell the chassan?
Oh, right before he winds down.
Really?
Okay. So you see such a thing also. There must be some deep meaning. I'm not familiar.
What is that symbol? I don't know, but they set me up. I know. I'm not.
They told you.
David ever came over to me. Sat down.
You took off your tie?
Okay.
That was already after the
book. No, that was before.
Check that you have your phone.
Aha, interesting. Okay. But there's such a thing of emptying your pockets. You want to clean out your sins and you want to clean out your chametz. Obviously, this expression, in the hypocrites, means to clean out. Nothing left. Here, Nehemiah is doing something symbolic. He emptied out his pockets. Pasuk reads, Pasuk Yud Gimel, very strange. You know, you find by the Nevi'im, you find this. Achia HaShiloni, he rips the garment into two parts. The Malchus will be divided. We do find in prophets, in order to put into motion, to make material a concept, a prophecy.
Well, a Navi, show.
He tore his garment. Will now tear the Malchus away from you. We find in the Nevi'im they did actions in order to bring to this world the prophecy. The prophecy is more spiritual. And when you take this spiritual concept and you do a Maisa, you do a physical Maisa, somehow that causes the spiritual concept to come to be in this world. Well, you want to read Hasidic stories all about this idea. Yoyer Weinstock, you know Yoyer Weinstock? He wrote probably, who knows how many books he writes for art school, he writes stories. So a lot of his books are Hasidic Maiselach, where he has a tremendous talent to bring out this idea where in Hasidus, the Hasidic Rebbe, they do Maisim, and it brings to be a certain desire that we have. I'll give you a little example. These are funny stories. They're not. I don't know how serious these stories are. You have it's Mitzvah Shabbos, and there's no Kiddush Levana. There's no Levana. Everyone wants the Kiddush Levana. They come outside. Oy, there's no Levana. What are they going to do? So the Rebbe says to the Hasidim, the Chassid, go to the mikvah and bring me the towel from the mikvah. So the Chassid brings in the towel, and the Rebbe takes the towel and he takes the towel up to the sky and he wipes the sky. He wipes away the cloud. Okay, so the story goes, all the Chassidim, they say that, wow, the Rebbe is a Baal Moifis. He took the towel from the mikvah and he wiped the clouds, and the clouds dispersed. He's a Baal Moifis. So the Rebbe says, Miskatnu Hadoiris, my father can do this without the towel. There's a flavor to it. The way he writes, he really has the courage to bring it out. But taking the towel, it's Nairishkeit, taking the towel. Right, it's a Nairishkeit, but this represents this concept. You do a Maisa, and that Maisa, in the world of Hasidus, you have to appreciate their the whole Hashkafa, brings to be a desire. You have to materialize your Ritzoinus, your will. We want to be able to say Kiddush Levana, but we can't. It's not in our control. What kind of ishtalos can we possibly do? If we could build a bridge, we would build a bridge, but we can't. So this is the best that we can do under the circumstances. We can do something symbolic. Take the towel. It's a Hasidic Shetayla Mahalach. I remember they had a very another nice story where they had an election in the town, and all of the people there were all anti-Semites, and it was a very big tzara, an ace tzara for Klal Yisrael. So the Rebbe called all the Hasidim, and he made believe that this one represents this party, and this person is going to represent. And they put on a mock play. You have a lot of Purim shuls like this, and they made a mock election, which each person representing a certain party, a certain whatever faction of the government, and they fixed it. Of course, who should win? The one that should win should be the ones that's good for the Jews, or you think is good for the Jews. And they signed the documents, and they went through this whole spiel, this whole Purim play. A lot of these things were done on Purim, you should know, all done on Purim. And exactly what they did, these are part of these stories, that's exactly what happened, against all odds. You have a Ratzon, you want to do something, you're a Spalel, you do your Hishtadlus, but how much Hishtadlus can you possibly do? Your Hishtadlus, you run out after a certain point in time. So then you put on a Purim spiel in order to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're serious, you really want it very much. And by doing this Maisa, you materialize your desires. And that, to some degree, I don't know how this works, in the world of Hasidus, it has an effect. So that's really what's going on now. That's by prophecy. Okay, this is very different what's happening here in Nechemi than what's happening in Nevi'im. This you can make a study in and of itself. Acts of symbolic acts. In Sifrei Nevi'im, especially Nevi'im Rishonim, it's the real deal. There's a prophecy. Hashem says something is going to happen. A prophet was inspired. He sees something. And the prophet now has to actualize what's going to happen. He does a Maisa. But you don't find prophets doing things like Kashlich, emptying out your pockets. That you don't find. That's like a lower level. That's something that we do in this generation. We go to Tashlich, we do things, symbolic things. Prophets had they actualized the prophecy through Maisim. But this is very different. He's now coming to issue a curse. He's telling the people, if you don't listen, you've already made a neder, you've made a shvua, and now we're going to do the third thing. It's a whole third. We're a chut ha-meshulash lebi meheri notek, a curse. And the curse is really just words. You say the curse. It's part of a shua. It really goes part and parcel with a shua. But we're gonna actualize the curse. We're gonna do something symbolic to make sure that you get it. Now, does it mean, is it something purely symbolic in order to make an impression upon the people, or does it actually have an effect like the prophets, where they did Maisim to actualize the prophecy? I don't know. I don't know how far it goes. But whatever, how far it goes, he's doing it. That's what it says. Very unusual pasuk. The gam pasuk gimel chotzni. Chotzni means my garment. It's an unusual word for a garment. Look at Rashi. Mitzudos tzion. Pasuk gimel chotzni is kain yikari knaf habega, the corner of the garment. V'chein ve'yiviu b'necha b'chaitzen. I will bring your children, which also there means into your kuna, I'll protect them. I'll take them under my cloak. I'll take your children underneath my kanfei, hashchina, underneath the corners of my divine presence. So here, begam chotzni, no arti, I shook out. I shook out my garment. That's what Nehemiah says. The oimra, and while I was shaking out my garment, I wasn't saying tashlich, and I wasn't saying kol chamira, I was saying a curse. What was the curse? The oimra, kocho, like this, same way I shake out my garment, yina'er hu elokim me'ashem, shake out, eskol ho'ish, any individual, asher lo yakim es hadavar hazeh. What's the curse? Two curses, which I want to show the parallel to the sota, mi beso umi gi'oi, from his home and from his effort. Now this can be interpreted different ways. I saw different interpretations. One interpretation is mibesa means rachmanu l'tzlan, from his children. That's a pretty scary thing. It's a curse that will go down, that a person's bias ain't basically ala ishtoi, basically refers to his children, that his family will suffer, he'll lose his family. Umigyo means his possessions, his material possessions. He'll lose everything in this world, his family and his wealth, if he will not fulfill this shvua, this neder, to be moichal the chayvos. Other commentators explain mibeso means inherit, both referring to wealth. We're not referring to family, chas v'shalom, referring to wealth. There are two types of wealth. There is inherited wealth, and there is earned wealth. Mibeso means the wealth that he has inherited from his ancestors. Migiyoi means his own effort. He has worked, he has a job, he has parnasa, he has skills. His own yigiyah, he will be cleaned out from the beso umigiyoi, the kocha, and he repeats himself, the kocha yihiyah na'or, and so shall he be shaked out, empty, vorek, two expressions, na'or vorek, not exactly sure the significance of the two expressions, period.
You're saying,
you know,
means what?
Shake.
Like,
Hashem,
he stirred up, to shake. He's shaking out the garment, and everything falls out. It falls to the side. It's out of your possession. You shake it, it's removed. So, kocha yina'er lokim eskola yita shaloyo kemisadav hazem, li beso umigioi, the kocha yiye no'ur, so shall he be no'ur vorek. Vayomu chol hakohol amen, and they responded amen. Okay, I want to before they got to talk. There's an enormous number, many things going on in these very innocent pasuk. And then it says something which is very bizarre, which is a discussion in of itself, is a very, very strange malbum on this, Vayehallelu Es Hashem. And afterwards, they all recited Hallel. The Mamash, they got up, that's what it seems. Vayehallelu Es Hashem. Okay, so what's the one thing at a time? First of all, we have over here two curses. In the klola of the sota, there's also a double curse. The curse is v'seis Hashem yisirechech noifeles v'yes bitnech tzava. The double curse. There's the yorech, the thigh. The thigh will collapse, and the belly will swell. So, it seems perhaps, I don't know, I don't really work it out well, is that these two words, since here Nehemiah is trying to connect this curse to the sota, infidelity, and the Shliya HaKoyen Oysa, and just like there, there's a double curse, and they're very different types of curses. The Yorech, the thigh, Rashi says, that's where the Hanok comes first. Collapses, and then the beten swells. Likewise, here there is besoy and yigioy. Okay, you have to work out what is the significance. They're two different things, and both the besoy and the yigioy are going to be.
So
I leave it to you. One is the source of sin, and one is the result. Just like the yorech. The yorech was the source of sin, and the beten is where she would become pregnant from. Is the result. As the result. So here as well, the beso is the source of
capital.
The beso is the source of capital, and the yigioy is, well, all the way around, the other way around. The yigioy is your efforts to exploit them, and the beso is what you've taken into the home. So, okay, so the Rashi there said, the Rashi there says the yorech and the beten. The yorech is the place where the sin, the pleasure takes place. Then is the beten, I guess that refers to when a woman becomes pregnant, after she has that pleasure, she becomes pregnant and the beten develops, the child. So the beso here refers to what you have gained, the product, and the yigioy means the effort, which would be the yorech. That your efforts and your results will be cursed, equivalent to the Arech and the Bet. Okay, perhaps there is some type of similarity. Also, one thing also very strikes me is with Kocha. Kocha yeoselo ish asher chofetz hamelech bikoro. Bezionos. We have over here, this is not long after the Megillah. The word Kocha, the Hebrew is some Kocha yihyeh. This kocha ye osel ish asher chafetz hamelech kocha ye kocha. So there is some similarity of.
It's in the same period.
Right, it's the same period. That's for sure. It's the same period. So was it? It's definitely either according to the Red Machlek. Go back to the beginning of Nehemiah. When did it occur? Did it occur in the 20th year of Dariavish, which would then take it almost 30 years after the Megillah story, a little bit less. It took place 20 years since Koresh, would take it right up less than like 15 years, even less than 15 years, 10 years after the Megillah story. So, but whatever it was right after the Megillah, and everyone obviously knew the Megillah then inside out because that was the whole that was the letters were sent. And that expression is used for kovod, was used to represent glory, honor, and glory. Here we're taking that same expression, kocha yihyeh, by Yosef also we have kocha. By Yosef.
No, we have
the Chumash
by
Chalut. Oh, kocha asher lo yivneh space ochiv. Space ochiv. So there it's used for bezionos. The bezionos. So that's right. The parallel there is used for bezionos, whereas the Megillah is used for kavod. So here, I think what he's alluding to is not only are you going to be cursed and you're going to go declare bankruptcy. But today, declaring bankruptcy is a big kavod. You know, if you declare bankruptcy, you're in the paper. You get that means you're a big player. Not a, the average person can't declare bankruptcy. You've got to be a big macha to declare bankruptcy. No, it's not going to be very nice. It's going to be bezionos. The curse is not just a curse of being minoher, mi besoy, and from yigioy, bezioinos. Some people react to bezioinos a lot better than reacting to financial penalty, misfortune. Okay, so they lose $1 million. As long as they're in the paper, the next day they're happy, they're smiling. But when they suffer bizyonos, that's a really different story. And some will fakert. They don't care about the bizyonos. The world can go and mock them, make some of them. They don't care. As long as I have my money, as long as I have my money, I have the last laugh. Every person, you can't generalize, every person reacts differently in this world to misfortune. It's a complete package, Nehemiah says. There's a curse. The curse is, you'll be wiped out mibesai, from your family, miyugiyoi, from your possessions, and kocha yihiyeh, he is alluding, you'll suffer bizyonos. It's not going to be pleasant. Complete package. So that is what he's saying over here in this part of the pasuk. What we have over here, sach hakol, is a serious business here. Three different things are coming together. Neder, the people themselves on the Kabul, this is what we will do, this is what we will do. They repeat the statement twice. Number two, a shavua, not just a shua of infidelity, a betrayal like parsha of Sota. Number three, a curse, serious business. What's also interesting is, unlike the Sota, where there is the Amro Isha, Amen, here there's only one Amen. Here it says in the Pasuk, Vayomu Chol HaKohol Amen. Only one Amen. What happened to the second Amen? So simply there, because the second Amen was a bracha, but the parsha of the Sota, well, I shouldn't say that. The Chazal, they darshan the word Amen many times. Amen Mizeh, Amen Mi'ishacher. So the word Amen is used there for different purposes, but here I don't know the significance. But here it's just one Amen; it's not a double Amen. Okay, then it concludes with something very interesting. By Halu,
more like the
Tokhah. Hagar Agel, Amen. The only one, the answer only Amen one, only once. Okay, it's true. But here the Hishpia Kohen. The reason why we're going over here to the Seita is because of the Kohen. The Kohen, and the Kohen is making the Shavua, and it's a Shavua that includes an Allah, similar to the parish of Sota, but there's only one respond, Amen, not Amen, Amen. Okay, the next idea in this pasuk is Vayahalalu es Hashem Vayas Ha'om Kadavar Hazeh. The Malbim suggests they made a bracha. Can you imagine they made a bracha? Over here doing the mitzvah, Nechemi over here says to them, but you know, you have to be good to your brethren, it's a mitzvah. They're poor, they're suffering. Chesed. You have to do chesed. So what did they do? So Malm suggests the Omer Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvos V'Tzivanu Al Mitzvas Gemilas Chasadim. They made a bracha. That's what it says in the pasuk. Vayehallelu es Hashem. They praised Hashem. Hallel. This is the Malm suggests. I think at the end he rejects it. It's a bracha. And that begs the question, so why don't we make a bracha? When you give tzedakah, why don't you make a bracha? Let's say, Matanas Lev Yodim on Purim, how can you make... So there are many answers. The basic answer is, on a mitzvah, Adam Chaveiro, you don't make a bracha. First of all, who says the Oni will accept? Who says he will accept your gift? Who says he really deserves? Maybe really in disguise he has under his mattress millions of dollars. There are many different reasons why we don't make a bracha on Gemilas Chasam, but a lot of the reasons why we don't make a bracha on Gemilas Chasam is because we don't want to embarrass the poor man. We don't know if the poor man will look, it's not a bracha that depends upon, it's totally bedas achem. Who says they will accept? You'll make the bracha, you'll go over to the Ani, here's a dollar. I don't want your dollar. Or I'll say to you, I had this many times. People come, I open the door, I give them a dollar. So they say to me, I didn't come here for a dollar. I want at least $10. So I said, fine, you don't want a dollar? I have a nice day, I'm sorry, I can't go give everyone that comes a dollar, I can't give them $10. I've had that, I'm sure you will have that situation here and there, okay? So...
Same guy.
Same guy. So... we don't know that the poor man will accept. So you can't make a bracha. It might be a bracha levatala. But here, we knew they would accept. The people were desperate. They were selling their children as slaves. They gladly were willing to accept the mechila of the loans and to have their property restored to them. So it's as far as all of those issues of not knowing if the Ani will accept were not issues here. And it was done in a very public way. Therefore, the time demanded a bracha, indeed a bracha, with shame or malchus could and should be made. It's a fascinating idea. You don't see that today. If you would extrapolate, you'd say, you go to a dinner, right? You go to an organization, and you have some type of yeshiva dinner, and the yeshiva very willingly is willing to accept a $1 million donation. They're desperate, and the individuals who are on the receiving end, and it's being done in a very public way with a big check and a whole ceremony, and the cameras are clicking, and all the media is there. There is grounds, and you have to know, make sure all the conditions are fulfilled. A bracha should be made. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu. It's a religious ceremony, and you can give a mechabed this reshiva and that reshiva, this politician, that politician, with the bracha. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvayos v'sivanu al gemilas chasodim. It's not so simple. Why not? You would seemingly possibly have a precedent from here. This pasuk vayahalalu es Hashem, according to the Malbim's suggestion that they made a bracha b'shem malchus. Obviously, we don't do this today. We don't do this because the Malbim himself at the end rejects, because he don't. Derech Klal, it's not the only reason why you don't make a bracha. There are other reasons why we don't make a bracha when you give it tzedakah, when it involves someone else. You know the famous vart. I don't want to be the chefs of your mitzvah. It was once a Talmud Chacham came to ask, can I come and visit? I want to come and visit you. You're not well. Pay a Biker Cholim call. So he said to him, it's okay. I don't want to be the Chefza of your mitzvah. You're the Gavra. I'm the Chefza. I'm the Chola. I'm the Chefza. I don't make mitzvos of Gemilas Chasadim into objects of mitzvah. That's a very wrong, horrible attitude. The Torah wants Gemilas Chasadim to be natural. There are mitzvos, a lulav and esrog. Lulav and esrog, there's a mitzvah. You take the lulav and esrog, Hashem told you to take it, you make a bracha, Hashem can show the mitzvah, and I will feel lost the law. Chesed is a midah, is an attribute, it's a character trait. It's not something that Hashem wants to do. You're a chefza, and you say l'shem yichud, and you shakel. That's wrong. It's a hashkafa in life to do chesed. Therefore, you don't make a bracha, and that's simply why we don't make a bracha on mitzvah of tzedakah, mitzvah of gemilas chasadim, and that would force us then to say that when it says vayehalu es Hashem, it does not mean they actually made a bracha, at least not a bracha on the mitzvah, but they recited hallel like Pesach night. And this is another fascinating thing, which you have to learn according to all opinions, is that they gave HaKadosh Baruch Hu shevach v'hoida, that Hashem gave them a Nechemia, who influenced them to do the Hayosha v'hatoy. Fascinating thing. Who are they saying halal to? Think about it. They're really saying halal to Hashem that you gave us a leader like Nechemia. Because if not for Nechemia, it would have been business as usual. We would have exploited the poor, we would have taken advantage, but Hashem, He gave us Nechemia, He persuaded us to do Hayosha v'hatoiv, we made the proper decision, and that is cause for celebration. So they really give a very nice drush to give for an installation for a rabbi. That by halu es Hashem, they're really giving praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you have given us such a person who can inspire us to make the proper decisions what to do in life. It's cause for celebration, for halal shavach v'hoida. And if you're making, you're saying halal, you can make a bracha on halal. You know, when a person witnesses a miracle, when you have a miracle, you're inspired for a special event. Then there are, that's also very complicated halacha. We all know that to be true when it comes to Eretz Yisrael. The big controversy, do you make a bracha on Yom HaTzmaot? Do you make a bracha? When a person experiences a miracle, a personal miracle, you're supposed to make a bracha on the anniversary of that holiday, at least the first year. After the first year, that becomes more complicated. Even those that do not make a bracha on Yom HaTzmaut, like most of us, most people, people do make a bracha, but the first year, a first anniversary of an event that you consider in your heart to be very significant, there's much stronger grounds to make a bracha on the first anniversary. They have to learn Shulchan Aruch, all the halachas. It's very complicated. But here at this moment in time, it was a very inspiring moment. And Vayahalu es Hashem, Vayasam Kadavar Hazak. Let us see over here the Mitzvah, Rashi, and we'll stop. And the Mitzvah is supposed to give him, we'll see Rashi first. Rashi says that he shook out his garment, Gam Chotzni Na'arti, Afani Bigdi Ni'arti, I shook out my garment. Rashi does not say it means a konof. He says it means his entire garment. Chasni kmo v'hiviu bonecha b'choytzen Hashem. You will bring your children in your garment. Rashi does not say konof. Not like the mitzudos. That's a very different word. It means your entire. He shook out his entire garment. My whole garment was shaken out. And then next Rashi. Then he says ni'arti. It means, I don't know, he says kmoi his ni'arti mi'ofa. I shook out from dust. Kocho yino'er. Kocha, like this, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu min ha'olam, Hashem should shake out from the world. Powerful stuff. It's a real serious curse. U'minichsehem, from their possessions. Kol oisam shalom yihiyu moichalim choyvoseyem. Very scary stuff. Even though al pi halacha they're entitled to collect, times are desperate. We're a very unique situation. People have to forgive their loans. Me'or v'reik. B'loy nechasev. Let's see. The Mitzvah's Pasuk Yud Gimel. Gam chasni li'arti. Menar ha'yisi konaf bigdi. I shook out my garment. V'amarti. I said, Oz k'moshu na'arti. And then as it was accompanied by an amira, as I was shaking my garment out, symbolic curse, symbolic expression, I said, V'amarti yos k'moshu na'arti b'konaf bigdi. Ha'v'harehu no'ur v'reik min ha'avok. Shohoye boy. And as my garment was being shaken out from the dust, and from that was in the garment, K'moichin, I was saying, likewise, shall anyone who does not keep his word, does not keep the neder and the shvua, shall be cursed, and may he be empty from his bayis and his yigiyoy, his possessions. Mi beisoy, so he rashed in the mitzvahs, he learns, me anshei beisoy, that's pretty scary stuff, his family. Umi yigiyoy ho'oysher, his wealth, habo al yidei yigiyoy, which comes to hard work. V'kocho yer rotzoloymar, kein yishoer an oylam, so he shall remain forever. Scary. Menuar u'misroikein, shaken out and empty. Vayahalalu al shenosan b'libam la'asois kazois. Those are powerful words. They thanked Hashem that Hashem inspired them. Hashem put in their mind the machshava to do the right thing. How often do we give HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shem? We normally give Hashem for results. Right? We normally thank Hashem. We say, how? Results count. We have results. The money's in the bank. Okay, now we'll give Shevach. That I should give Shevach, that Hashem, you inspired me to make a decision, the right decision, even though that right decision is going to cost me everything? You give Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for such a thing? Whoever heard of such a thing? That's not the way. You go on the street. Go thank God. Thank Hashem. When the money's in the bank, I'll thank Hashem. That you give me the inspiration to be Moichel my Chayvais. I have nothing. But I recognize that this was what Tayosha v'Hatoyf, that's cause for celebration. Unbelievable. They listen, they return the fields. The Ozwes Achoivos, and they cancel the loans. Okay, so we will stop here.